Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. Today's the last day to take advantage of the deals before they change over. You also get that multiplier on your fuel perks points. I went shopping, considerable amount of shopping that I did yesterday at Ingles. And just yesterday, saved 20 cents on gas. Just yesterday. And I'm accumulating those points. I'm doing the Ben Milstead. We'll just see how high I can climb before I need gas again. It's a dangerous game. We're getting toward the end of the month, but we're going to be able to do it. We're going to bring this thing home in the next week. I look forward to shopping at Ingles after the show today. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
I need to go to the Ingles myself. Quark, I've got some really sad news to pass on.
Well, that's not good, Ben.
A couple of textures brought this to our attention during the break, and this truly makes me sad. Dolly Parton has passed away at the age of 80 years old. I don't see a cause. Not really interested in that right now. Have you ever in your life met someone who did not like Dolly Parton? Not necessarily her music, but just the person. An American treasure, an absolute treasure. That really makes me sad.
How? Oh, man. So many.
There's not many people that you can just say, you know, in as famous as she is, I mean, worldwide fame, there's not many people that you can turn to and say, you know, she didn't really have an enemy. She didn't really have a critic. Her music wouldn't have been for everybody, but just Dolly Parton, that's, man.
You know what's amazing about that? Is that she, and I'm going to say this, I'm not sure that she won't be the last person we ever say this about. I'm serious. She stood for things and still didn't have enemies.
Yeah, that's a great point. She did.
Like, she did not, you know, it's easy to sort of not rock the boat and we're just going to all get along and have a good time. But she actually did have opinions, beliefs, convictions that are very transparent. Now, some of them are universal. Like, I think children should be able to read. So I'm going to have a book club to make sure children have books.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like, very faith-oriented person. She talked about it very openly. Her music was unifying music. Like, you didn't have controversial song. Like, she was very steadfast in her beliefs without alienating people. And I don't think it is even possible to do that now.
She's going to be celebrated for a long, long time. She absolutely will be and needs to be. Tammy from Seneca said, Marriage Hall of Fame, too. Yeah, her husband passed away about a year ago, I think. And, you know, and I think it's okay to say this because this is just funny. I said she didn't have any enemies. Riley reminds us, no any enemies except Jolene. Riley, that's the text of the day right there. That's a great reference. Oh, I love that.
You know, as we said,
man, I'm bummed.
That is really sad. Now, if we're being honest, we all like we've been to Dollywood a bunch. Like we go to Dollywood once a year at least.
We are considering doing it on the bye week.
Okay.
This year.
Very fun. My parents, I have not been in the fall. My parents say it's great in the fall. Should definitely go. But that, you know, if you're around Dolly Parton, you're like, all right, she's getting up there. Like she's talked about some of her health struggles and things like that. You learn to fall in love with her story and where she is in her life and all that kind of stuff, what she's doing. So it would not be a shocker that an 80-year-old woman would pass away, but it is still sort of a shocker because you felt like she had a health scare a few months ago. It was talked about. She put out the video that was like, remember that? It was like,
yeah.
I'm good, and she looked fine and sounded fine. And so there's a little bit of a scare there, but very, very sad indeed.
Oh, man. Well,
a lot of folks are in agreement.
Our, excuse me, Our text line just flooded with, I mean, coming in so fast we can't read them all. Flooded with Dolly Parton comments. So we appreciate those.
I love how she amassed wealth and then just basically gave it away. Like, Dollywood makes money, but she does so many things that just have
Dolly
no return.
I don't know her. Never knew her. She would strike me as someone who probably doesn't even know. Never knew. How much money you got? I don't know. A couple thousand. I don't know.
It's a great American success story.
Yeah, really. It really is.
Like, I bought Hollis a children's book, like a very simple children's book about Dolly Parton's life.
Yes.
And it's such a good lesson about the humble beginnings and the stardom and the fun and the lights. And then, like, what do you do when you have had your fun? You give back. It's like this very, for a two-year-old, it's this very simple act one, very humble beginnings. Act two, got really popular, sang a lot of songs, made a lot of people happy. Number three, gave it away.
Just a couple of weekends ago when I took a little mini-vay, some of our friends that were with us, you know, we get to that really old-school country part of the night, and we were at that listening to Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, and yeah, good stuff, man. Did you anything else you want to say about that?
No.
I was going to ask you another question.
No, just, you know. It's just sad. It's a sad day.
Last night was a bit of a slow night in sports. Braves weren't on. They just, you know, no preseason stuff. I'm not the biggest Little League World Series fan. I don't have anything against it. It's just not something I necessarily sit down and watch. I did last night, Quok. Did you happen to watch? It was Alabama and Pennsylvania.
I watched a little. I was more interested, Ben, in watching the Reds get four hit by a bunch of guys who need name tags. What a disaster.
Just like,
Alabama would have beat the Reds yesterday, Ben.
Enjoy being waterboarded? What are you doing? Yeah. Just like torturing yourself.
Every freaking night, doing the dishes and watching that garbage.
On
and
the
not
more
breaking
positive stuff. We're talking about good things, not bad things. We're talking about Dolly Parton, Kenley Rasmus.
Yeah, Colby Rasmus's kid. Yes.
She is in. First time that I've seen her, highlights of her, first time I've watched her play. A female's not hit a home run in the World Series. She came really close at her first at bat last night. Pennsylvania came back to beat Alabama. They were down 5-0 and scored five with two outs, tied it up, and then they win it in the bottom of the seventh. She hits second for them, plays shortstop for them, and pitched a gem last night. She says she plays baseball, softball, and flag football. Man, she was – it was an enjoyable game. These kids are so fundamentally sound. You're not having to remind people, players, where to throw to, and, you know, what base. Hit your cutoff, man. Do this and do that. I mean, these are 12-year-olds, and man, she was outstanding. I genuinely enjoyed watching this last night. And you know, at 12 years old, you could tell some of the boys were starting to, you know, kind of hit the puberty stage and starting. I mean, they had. Alabama had a, you know, like a 6'11 kid playing center field.
Yeah,
or so
the mustache gave it away, right? It was the mustache.
But yeah, man, she's in there with the guys at 12 years old, and not only held her own, she's out playing a lot of them.
I want to go back to something you said, because it didn't strike me because I've watched her play, I've watched them play. I think they're. The announcers, one of the announcers was talking about, I think Chris Burke maybe, was talking about they're America's team, Phenix City, Alabama, because of Rasmus and because of the way they play and all that stuff. Kind of not expected to do great, but playing really well. Baseball and softball?
Yeah.
What does my calendar look like if I'm playing baseball and softball in the 12U age group?
Yeah, I'm guessing she's playing. I don't know. I can't even guess.
Like, are you playing softball on the weekends? Baseball during the week? You doing softball during the week? Baseball on the weekend? You doing both every day? How you doing that? That's what I need to find out. I gotta figure that out.
Yeah, and actually, I think I had my teams backwards. I think it was, I think I said she played for Penn. She plays for Alabama.
Yeah,
yeah. I had those.
Oh, okay.
I had the regardless. What a fun game that was, though.
We love that, the story. I love following a good Little League World Series story.
Yeah, and I'll bet she's on softball radars everywhere, because just someone who can, I mean, she's playing shortstop, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I know batting in softball is different, but what you see her doing in baseball, you know, there's no reason that she's not just going to be an unbelievable softball player later on. I mean, and she's going to, I would imagine she'll play baseball as long as she can as well, but you know, the whole puberty thing is going to kick in, and it'll separate, you know, that at some point probably not going to be able to keep doing that. But
I'm sure Alabama's already seen.
I'll watch her career,
no doubt. She, not since Monet Davis, remember Monet Davis a number of years ago, like, not since Monet Davis have we had a female take the Little League World Series by storm like this. And honestly, when's the last? This is crazy. Now, I'm sure there have been some that are forgetful or forgettable or whatever. When's the last time we had a female participant in the Little League World Series and you thought, you know, I could take or leave her? Like, oh, we're just carrying a girl because we needed a 12th.
Oh, yeah, you know, no, not at all. Not at all in
like,
that.
These are all star. Like, these are great players. Great players at this level.
Yeah. You don't get to this level without being an outstanding. There's no token players on these rosters.
Right. Oh, man. You were talking about fundamentally sound. Do you know what I love watching this? I was watching the international game yesterday and then the game last night. I feel like I have watched like 37 consecutive successful bunts. Like, they don't, if they're going to stab at the ball, they get it down every time they get the bunt down. And at 12 years old, I'm good with it. You know, if you're bunting like crazy at 28 in the big leagues, okay, that's a little much. Ben, they're bunting fastballs and curveballs and change up. They're bunting everything, and they're bunting them all. They get them all down every time they get them down. I swear, every single time I see somebody squirt a bunt, if they offer the pitch, they get it down, and they move the runner. They do what they're supposed to do. And, man, that is so nice to see.
It was so pure to watch. And I'm not in no way bashing Major League Baseball. I mean, but you people know what I'm talking about here. They're just playing. I don't know how else to say it.
It's the only pure form of sports we have.
Yeah.
It's all we have. Except in Tulsa. In Tulsa, it's not pure. Everywhere else, it's just a pure sport.
She plays flag football. I'm sure Lane Kiffin's on the phone right now, you know, trying to check out eligibility for.
What would that press go? Let's see.
You know, well, other people are recruiting her, so.
She doesn't play for us. She's going to play for somebody. So, I mean, we're recruiting, and they're recruiting, and we're all recruiting. So, we're just recruiting players. That's all. Lane Kiffin has a way to make a thing seem really mundane that's, like, shaking the fabric of the sport. I realized that from his press conference yesterday. Like, he just says matter-of-factly things that are just shaking the fabric of the sport. It's remarkable. All right, let's take a break, and we come back. We do have an update on that, by the way. Conferences have weighed in, and one conference weighed in kind of. We'll discuss after this. Don't go anywhere.
The countdown is on. 11 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Randall, right-hand side of Clubman. Third and two at the Boston College 8. Handoff, Randall. First down inside the 5 to the end zone for 6.
11 days until Clemson Tiger football. 105.5, 97.5, The Roar, where every day is game day. We call it like it is.
Even if you don't like it,
we are 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
How well do you know the condition of your home's plumbing system? Are you positive that there's not a slow drip behind a wall or under a cabinet? My name is Mike with One Time Plumber, and we're offering a free inspection on your home's entire plumbing system. We're checking everything out, but here's a few highlights of what we're looking for. The condition of your pipes, the condition of your water heater, the pressure in your shower. The list goes on, and we're going to inspect it for free.
Over 50 years serving a Clemson community with the latest and greatest in Clemson gear. You are going to want to familiarize yourself with the full catalog, man. And you're going to want to make sure that you have everything you need for the season. Look, next week is going to be you run out of time, all right? Next week you need to have it done, particularly in 2 weeks for the first home game. You need to have it done. Everything for the tailgate, everything for the car and the house, and everything to outfit your kids and your wife or husband and all the people. You just need to go by Tiger Sports Shop and make a day of it. Do it in Clemson, downtown Highway 123. Of course, always open at tigersports.com. We do need to talk a little bit about some of the breaking news regarding conferences trying to restore a bit of order. And I have some conspiracy theory stuff on this, but I want to address what we know first, which is yesterday LSU agreed to terms, whether they are immediate or you got to wait on waivers or whatever, with three different players who have been in NFL training camps. That's what we know. Certainly, there would be others to follow. The SEC released a statement basically saying, if only Congress had done something. That's basically what they said. Hey, this is bad. If only Congress had done something. That was the SEC's first pass at this yesterday.
And it's playing right into my take on it that we need more craziness so that you have more people saying things like that. That's the one nice thing I will say about the SEC today.
Okay. That's the only one?
Well, no. Okay. There may be more.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure because they will return later as a character in this. This morning, either for really good, we care about the sport and competitive balance and we want days where the rosters are locked reasons, like what Ryan Day said, or for if the SEC's not going to have any stones, we will reasons. I don't know which. The Big Ten said they're not letting anybody in their conference add a player from an NFL roster. If you're on an NFL roster, if you're making NFL money, you sign an NFL contract, you may not come back and play. Very plain what the Big Ten did. The ACC is expected to do it as well. I would assume the Big 12 is going to do it unless they wait for everybody else to do it and assume they can play both sides where they can be like, yeah, we're like the fun parents. We're like, you can do whatever in our league. But also, maybe if no one does it, then they're not going to be the place where people do it. And then the SEC, Ben, you were telling me the SEC has come back and they're like, well, actually, we might do something a little more forceful.
Yeah, there was a video conference with presidents and chancellors in the SEC yesterday in which they released a statement that basically said this should not happen. It hurts the sport. It's once you go pro, you can't come back. And it was just this is where we stand on it. Today, according to Ross Dellinger and others now, they are president, and I'll just read you Dellinger's tweet from this morning. I believe there were already meetings planned for yesterday and today before all of this.
That's correct.
He said SEC presidents are expected to direct ADs against accepting pro players under the threat of penalty per bylaws. Greg Sankey and or presidents hold authority to deem a player ineligible, fine, suspend coaches, etc. Will they, he asked. And, you know, we did have texters earlier today say the SEC can't stop this because the courts have already ruled. And I would disagree with that because your employer, and in this case, it's a membership, but the SEC is your employer in effect for the SEC schools. And, you know, like it is in any conference. You have to abide by their bylaws or you face penalties. And, I mean, they can be pretty harsh, I would imagine. That's what you signed up for. You know, the same as you're legal to drink in this state if you are of age. But there are employers in their contracts that says that you cannot. I worked for one at a university years ago. I signed up for that. It can be done. I mean, and it could have been done with players, you would have thought, because you were signing up. In this case, the conferences have more leverage and more authority than the NCAA does. So also, when you have the presidents of the schools signing off on this, and that's what it – now, no mention if that was a unanimous thing or what, but that is the statement that the SEC presidents made. If the president of your school says is on board with it not happening, then it's not going to happen. And are you going to have LSU take the SEC to court? Are you going to have the SEC AD take the president? Of course not.
Well, that's one of the things that I'm bothered by on this, is that the SEC is going to pass this later today. Then why did they do it in the first place? If this is how the SEC presidents felt, then why did LSU spend all yesterday raiding everybody's training camp?
Did they – perhaps they didn't think it was going to happen.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean – This is all happening in the last 24 hours. And with the SEC presidents, with the Big Ten people, with the ACC, I can't blame them really for saying you can't do this, because nobody in their right mind would have thought this would have ever happened, yet here we are.
Exactly.
That's athletics today.
Let's go to Mike and Anderson, who's up with us next on the phone. 654-ROAR is the number you want to join us here on the program, the Pratt & Jewelers phone lines. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Quack and Ben. I had a quick question for you, and I'm going to step away from the football stuff for just a minute, if you'll allow me.
Sure.
And one reason is because you and Ben are baseball guys. And I spoke with Walt Deptula yesterday and had a question about – it was a baseball question – and I used parts of a conversation that you and Ben, and I think Scott from Greenville, whose wife almost left us, and thank God she's still here, but you guys talk about the Braves a lot. And I noticed, and I used to be a huge Braves fan, but I just don't understand baseball anymore. And I asked the question, how do you win a World Series if the face of your franchise is batting in the 240s, which I think is where Ronald Acuna is, and Walt explained it as best he could for me to understand. And then he made the comment when he was finishing that the Major League Baseball is not a batting average game or league anymore. And again, you guys are baseball guys. I'm not anymore. Could you explain that to me? Because I'm confused, and I would appreciate it, and I will hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. I will do this very quickly on Acuna. Walt is right that Acuna's only hitting 232. His OPS is 746. OPS is a better gauge of the overall value of a player because there are more walks. There are also more strikeouts, but there are more walks now. Pitching is different, and as a byproduct of that, hitting is different. Your OPS is how often do you get on base and how many bases do you get in a game. And they're combining that. And Acuna, I would say even on that metric, He is fourth on the Braves among regulars in OPS Plus, which is just another way to gauge OPS relative to a league average, okay? In OPS, he's behind Drake Baldwin, Matt Olson, and Michael Harris.
Yeah, he might be the face of the franchise, but he's not the leader of the franchise. I would say that belongs to Matt Olson. Regardless of how Acuna is struggling or not struggling at the plate, I'll take him 7 out of 7 days.
And the reason for that, and we'll go to Walt here on this, he wants to talk about conferences. The reason for that to me, Ben, is that there is value in being up there and taking walks. Like, that's why batting average can't be the best indicator now. Because really, whether you get on base with a hit or whether you get on base with a walk, the reality is you're now a threat to the other team. You're now a threat to score when you get on base. And so it essentially has leveled off singles and walks. Whereas if you just focus on batting average, you're devaluing walk. You devalue that base. If you take pitches, which, you know, I could go into a really nerdy expose on that.
Yeah.
But I like that from Acuna.
On the conference stuff, we'll go to Walt here. The one thing that strikes me about the SEC, though, is that this is happening inside their conference. They had an opportunity to be a leader, and I'm stealing – Kwok told me some of this during the break earlier today, and I'm going to steal it. They had the opportunity to be the leader here, and instead they're the follower behind the Big Ten. And that's the part that should disappoint us all.
That's where the SEC is, though. They're not leading anywhere. That no one wants to follow where they're going. Nobody. And they can't lead their own people. Walt Deptula has thoughts on this. You can hear from 3 to 7 more on this. Hey, Walt.
Kwok, Ben. Hey, by the way, just to be clear, Mike brought up batting average with Acuna. I told him batting average doesn't matter in the way the game is played anymore.
That's right.
And Acuna does. But on this other thing, you know, for the people who don't think that the SEC new policy will stand, you know, remember, we just had a test case of league sovereignty in the Big 12, and Texas Tech smoked the attorneys on the – or the league smoked the attorneys on the Texas Tech behalf. So that was proven out already that the league has sovereignty. So I don't think that if these leagues stand up now and say, this is who we are, this is what we stand for, I don't think that's going to be legally challenged or debated. I don't. But I guess my question is that I haven't seen an answer to or haven't heard an answer to, are we going to grandfather in the LSU players? This would be the youngest grandfather in history, by the way. This grandfather would be like 2 days old. But are we going to grandfather LSU in? Even if the SEC comes out and issues this policy, are they still going to allow LSU to maintain those three players or not? Because I think that's sort of key in this conversation. If not, then Lane Kiffin may still have time to sneak a few more in today.
See, and that's the thing. It's the old Michael Scott snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap, where you're going back and forth. And I don't – listen, in some ways, this makes that player a victim. Now, I wouldn't go quite that far, but I don't know a better word for it. But, like, you were told yesterday that you had a spot and you had a contract and you had all this stuff, and it was okay to do it. And then today you're told it's not okay by a different group of people.
But seriously, though, I'm only – you know, basically this is – half joking, but seriously, if that action predated any decision that they made today, then I would think that those cases would still clear.
That honestly, that's an excellent point. And we don't, there's no way of knowing that right now, but
I'm
I would
not
be
seen it brought up.
No, I will be fascinated to see what happens on the, well, you know why?
Yeah.
Because no one wants to declare a player eligible or ineligible. Seth Trimble was declared eligible an hour before he was redeclared ineligible last week. Like, there is no reason in the world to say whether a player is eligible or ineligible when we can just let judges do it for us.
Yep. See you guys.
All right. Great question. More on that from Walt, 3 to 7.
I would be surprised if they grandfathered me in. Nothing surprises me anymore. You did see the Alabama basketball player. Now, I believe that was a court that overruled that, but to overturn it. In like Daquan Wright's situation, you I don't think you would grandfather him in. At least this would be my argument, because what has he lost?
Right.
He was already cut. He wasn't picked up on waivers. You didn't prohibit him from going to another school. And especially if all the conferences align on this, what damage has been done to him? He's back to where he was going to be in the first place.
Right. Which, that's been my argument the whole time with these players deserve the fifth year. Well, they never had. I don't understand why somebody who never had something is now entitled to it, because it's you're costing them something by taking it away. They never had it in the first place.
Why did these stories always seem to center around LSU or Ole Miss, and in this case, a player that is trying to play for both?
Oh, Ben.
If anybody's going to challenge it, it will be them.
I think they decided this at the governor's mansion. Remember that meeting? They were like, we're going to be the worst roster athletic department in America and make everyone hate how we do this on a routine basis. There are a bunch of examples from just the last 24 hours outside of football. We'll talk about that in more. They want to make you more productive. Landscapers-supply.com. For more information, that's landscapers-supply.com.
We had a record set in the WNBA last night, Kwok.
Oh, man.
Angel Reese.
Shut up.
26 rebounds last night. A WNBA record. Now for the rest of the story.
Oh, no.
8 of the rebounds were her own misses.
I knew it. I was going to go 10 or less. 10 or less. Oh, no. Angel! Yeah,
so she missed 8 layups and got her own rebound.
The kids call that stat padding, Ben. Listen.
She was 4 for 14.
Who was it in basketball?
Actually good for her.
Who was it? This was years ago. God, it was
Texas
some.
Texas said me bounds. That's great. I forgot that term.
I'm going to popularize me bounds. There was some NBA player that shot at the wrong basket to try to get a triple-double. Was that Ricky Davis?
No idea.
Walt's going to know that one. Where's Walt? Oh, Walt's not out there. I think Ricky Davis did it at the end of a game. He shot at the wrong basket to try to get a rebound for a triple-double because he knew. And he got clowned for it. We can clown this, right? 26 rebounds, but 8 of them are your own misses?
Yeah.
I feel like we can clown.
I mean,
this.
Still 18 rebounds. That's a very good night.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Look, I'm not getting 18 rebounds a WNBA game. You forget that. Speaking of Angel Reese, I found a coach worse than Lane Kiffin when it comes to rosters.
Oh, I got to hear this.
It's worse than Lane Kiffin in his own school. I'm telling you. LSU is the worst. They're the worst ever. Bad people, worst.
What did Will Wade do?
No.
What?
Well, Will Wade, RJ Lewis is on his fifth school. LSU is his fifth school. And can we congratulate Will Wade for having enough bodies to practice with a sub? That's amazing. That's amazing. Really hard to find a sixth player, but he did it yesterday, RJ Lewis. No, this is Kim Mulkey, Ben. Here's the story. This honestly, you're not ready. If you don't know what this is, you're not ready for the thing that Kim Mulkey did. You're not. There's no way you could possibly be ready for what she did.
I feel like you're setting me up to let me down.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, you're going to feel bad about humanity. If Dolly Parton makes you feel good about humanity, Kim Mulkey's putting it back, buddy.
Okay,
give it to me.
Give it to me. I'm ready.
Here is what she did. The story is there's a player, Kate Koval, who transferred to LSU from Notre Dame, who has decided to leave the program. Okay? That's the story. She puts out a statement and says, hey, we support Kate. She's got to do what's best for her and her family. Kate's a great person. She loves LSU. Whatever. That's the statement. All right?
Okay.
This is why people are assuming, she hasn't spoken about this, that she left. Recently, Kate Koval is Ukrainian. She played this summer in the 3-on-3 World Cup for Ukraine. She's very proudly Ukrainian. Her dad is in the Ukrainian military.
Right now?
Right now. Fighting in the war right now. He is fighting right now. And Cade Koval is here in America as a five-star recruit, Notre Dame, LSU, playing basketball. And playing for Ukraine in international competition. LSU brought in a highly talented player from Russia.
No, you can't do that.
Yes, from Russia. Do you know what? Do you
so
know what?
Kim Mulkey she brought in a Ukrainian player, and then she brought in a Russian player, and she didn't stop to think that there might be a conflict here?
This is what she said. This is actually what she said. Quote.
Oh, my gosh.
I cannot make a decision to not recruit somebody that can help our program because of a conflict between two countries, end quote. That is her actual statement.
A conflict slash full-blown war.
I mean, what are we talking about? That is so obvious. Like, even she said she sat down Cade Koval and talked to her about this and was basically like, you know, if you think about it, if you guys could, like, work out your differences, we could, like, end this war. She actually said that. We could end this war.
LSU women's basketball is going to end the war.
I'm telling you, this is the worst. It's the worst thing you can possibly imagine. It's the worst. That's like having a Palestinian player and getting an Israeli or vice versa. It's the worst. You can't do this. When one of your players' dads, who, by the way, was already in your program, is literally fighting against the country of the player that you're bringing in now. You can't do this.
Oh, my gosh.
This has got to be the worst athletic department of all time when it comes to rosters. Think about who we have. Think about who we're dealing with. The triumvirate, the holy trinity of Kiffin, Wade and Mulkey out here pissing off every single human with any empathy or dignity or self-worth or self-awareness whatsoever, pissing off everyone every day with totally senseless and needless roster construction decisions. It is mind-boggling how horrible LSU is at this. And there's no way they're horrible by accident. There's no way. How can Lane Kiffin, Kim Mulkey, and Will Wade make these highly questionable roster decisions all in a vacuum working for the same athletic department? It's got to be a universal thing, Ben, right? It's got to be universal in the athletic department. Unbelievable. Texter says, Qualk, where did she say that they could end the war? I'm trying to find it. I really wanted to quote it. I saw it was a block quote that included that statement and another one. I'll find it. I'll find it. It's there.
Yeah, Texter said, Ukrainian civilians have endured every horror of war, every single one. Yeah, that's – and we're not talking about something that happened, you know, a few years ago. It's going on right now.
Like, they literally,
I mean, every time her phone rings, she's wondering if it's a call about her dad. You know that's the case.
Also, in this particular war, is not like what the U.S. and Iran are doing, where it's like, oh, we're going to bomb some stuff and we're going to do some stuff with Lucia. This is literally like, we'd like to take your country, please.
Man.
That's horrible. Absolutely horrible that Kim Mulkey would put a player in that situation. Good for Cade Koval, who, by the way, she just can't play anywhere. Portal's closed. If the NCAA has any dignity at all, they're going to make an exception for her and let her go somewhere. Clemson could use a big, just saying. And they don't have any Russian players, Ben. No conflict.